righty, thanks very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN on this Wednesday afternoon. I was outside just a few minutes ago, walked across the street, got a cup of coffee, 15 degrees, and man, it feels almost balmy out. I am ready to put on the sunscreen. I know it's going to get cold again tonight, a wind chill advisory. Coming up later in the program, we'll talk to Frank Sennett from Cranes. But one of the things we've been talking to Frank a lot about is sort of this glut of office space. Is there not, or is there a coming glut? The landlords had a pretty good last quarter of 2017. The future might not look so good. So we'll talk to Frank about that. Also about some reporting Greg Hines has been doing. Actually, the Tribune picked up on the story today as well about the great resurgence in the number of jobs in the city center in Chicago, leading the collar counties by far. So that's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. But we always start with a weather report from Terry Savage, who joins us on a phone line today. Terry, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Always glad to be here at lunch with you. And as we start a new year, we look at markets at record highs, the Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ, all in record territory.
Okay, wait. Now, I said we start with the weather report because, I'm sorry.
That's my weather. My barometer of what I think is going on, and what a nice way to start the new year.
But you're caught up in this big storm, aren't you?
I'm actually in Florida, and it's cold, gloomy, damp, and rainy down here. And that's the southern end of what is a huge storm making its way up the East Coast. I expect the sun to resume shortly, however.
Well, I hope that it does for you. Okay, now back to your weather. Your weather's a lot sunnier.
My financial weather is sunnier.
Yeah, yes.
We're in a bull market. One day that will end. I was just reading something today that we've had 2 years of quarters where the S&P has not had a losing month.
Wow.
That's astounding. That's never happened before. I have no idea when this stops. I, every day, am annoyed at my chicken money and cash, and then I think, but I'll be sitting on the radio with Steve, and knowing that I have set aside enough money so that the next decline, which will be followed by the next bull market, is not going to destroy me emotionally or financially.
But, you know, here we are sitting,
only way I know to play it.
We're sitting at the beginning of the year, and, right, so it's almost like, it's like a giddy, it's like when you're at a horror film and you're, you know, giggling almost by feeling you're about to be scared to death. It's fun. It keeps going. They tell us it's going to keep going through the year. We're going to talk to Wallet Hub a little bit later in the show, and they're predicting, I think, the S&P will finish up 9 or 10 points this year. But it's not going to go forever. It's just not.
Well, the average historical return with dividends reinvested is 10%. So we are a little beyond the averages now. But you know what? That's what makes it interesting. Life isn't guaranteed. So one of the things I wrote in my first New Year's column was understand yourself, accept the realities of life, and the number one reality is we're in a bull market.
I know we're kind of playing it by ear today just because of some communications issues and all. So let's talk about the job hunt after we take a break. So let's do that in our second segment. We're coming out with auto sales numbers today as well. And I know that is may not be so interesting to a lot of people, but it has been to me because it's an industry that we may well have lost about 15 years ago, or 10 years ago, I should say. It's come back. They're down a little bit from last year, I think, but only because last year was so, so strong. But it's interesting to me this way. I think the average U.S. car is a little over 11 years old. And because of the hurricanes that we had in the late fall or early fall, the demand, I think, for vehicles is going to be up again next year. So those are real reasons why it looks like, while the auto industry might not have another year like it has in the past couple, it's still going to be doing pretty well.
Well, if you're talking about cars, I just don't think that any longer cars and the auto industry are what's moving the whole U.S. economy. The pluses on the auto industry for new car sales may be offset by declines in prices for real estate as people realize their mortgage interest or property taxes, I should say, are not deductible. And It's a very iffy question for next year, which segment is going to drive the market higher. But I will give you a tease for your, for the second segment here. If you're wondering about the best investment for 2017, it's 2018, and I'm looking back on the 2017 performance of the stock market. I see gold starting to move and oil starting to move. But beyond, and Bitcoin, of course, I will call it an investment, but there's a market that moves. But the one thing I think you can really bet on is yourself and your job, because all the demographics for that particular investment in getting a job or a better job are pointing in the right direction.
So that's what we're going to talk about coming up in a little bit less than a minute. One other thing before we break, though, I don't know if you saw did you follow the huge lines at the county tax treasurer's offices?
Oh, I just turned in a column about that. The fact is, incentives matter. If you ever doubt,
I was thinking the same thing. That really shows that tax policy, I don't know if there's the intent, but tax policy has an impact on behavior.
Right. And by the way, the people lining up at the county property tax offices were not the wealthy people who have tax advisors who told them this is what you need to do. These were ordinary people who just looked at their taxes at year end and said, gee, I paid this much in Illinois state tax and this much in property tax, and that's over $10,000, and that's for a lot of people, and next year the deduction won't be good. I better get it now. You didn't need a smart tax advisor. Tax incentives matter. Now, all we have to hope is that the lower tax rates, especially in corporations, but for individuals, and some of the other changes in the tax laws, have enough positive results, just because we know people act on tax changes. If we get enough positive results, maybe, just maybe, we can grow the economy, and there won't be a decline in revenues from taxes. Maybe there'll even be an increase as we go through the year next year. That's what remains to be seen.
That's Terry Savage. Read more from her at terrysavage.com. We're going to take a quick break and then talk about the big job hunt of 2018. It's 12:21. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN, a Wednesday afternoon, and we usually spend the first half of our Wednesday afternoon program with Terry Savage. You can read more from her at terrysavage.com and all over the place. Watch her on Channel 9, Tribune. You're ubiquitous, Terry Savage. You're everywhere.
I've been trying to be there. One of my old boss told me once, keep moving that way.
Speaking of keeping moving, right, this January is always a big month when it comes to the job hunt, because people tend to put it off during the holidays. But here we are with a, you know, very low unemployment rate. It looks like a growing economy, and it looks like it's going to be a very hot job market in 2018.
This is for two groups of people. First of all, there are surveys out that show that hiring of college grads is up 4% over last year. We always remember that last year there was this sense that it didn't make any difference if you got a college degree, or a couple of years back you couldn't get a job. But college hiring is up. But I'll tell you who I think is going to really benefit from this, and that is people who suddenly became, quote, consultants, or, quote, took early retirement, unquote, when what really happened is that for so many people in their 50s and 60s, the jobs just weren't there. All the demand switched to younger people with technology and with, social media experience and so forth. I think a funny thing is happening now, and that is because of the tight job situation, because of the low unemployment, because of the difficulty employers are getting visas for foreign workers, that there are going to be opportunities for people who gave up. And so the message to you is start now. I mean, this is the first week of the new year. If you or someone in your family falls in that category and you were so depressed and disillusioned about your future, start over. We're in a new cycle now. I don't know how long it'll last for the stock market. But because we have done what they did in the tax bill, because business is reevaluating everything now, it's worth putting your resume out there. It's worth knocking on doors, even if you were turned down years ago.
Yes.
I think the biggest bull market for people, individuals, is going to be not only in getting raises, getting out in the first job, but getting back into the workforce. And the people who recognize that first will get the job.
That's interesting, because I was going to bring up some numbers. Glassdoor did a survey, and they said 38% of Americans who are working now plan to or are currently looking for a new job. So 38%, almost 4 in 10, have half of us would be open to a new job. But those are people who are currently working. I suppose the idea, if you're looking for a new job, if you already have a job, is a bigger buck, right? You go for a bigger bump by finding a new career or a new job.
Yeah, suddenly there's mobility. We have this monthly report called JOLTS, job openings and turnovers. And what's happening now is when people are scared about the economy, they don't want to move. They don't want to take a chance. They just hunker down. I hope the X doesn't come for me. But now people who are good are willing and out looking for new and better jobs. And all of this mobility opens some doors. And the group that I really want to reach, I mean, young people getting out of college, they know they're searching for a job. I'm telling you, the numbers say that you're going to have a better chance of a good job this year. And people who are already in their various industry, whether it's marketing or accounting or whatever it is, suddenly realize, gee, there are opportunities. But the people who don't stay plugged in, and I can understand that, it was just very depressing for a lot of people sending out resumes year after year. Now is the moment to say, I'm going to give it one more shot. Don't give up. I really think that's the opportunity in America this year.
You know, I think,
especially in the market.
And one of the hurdles to that might be just that we've moved so fast when it comes to acquiring jobs or advertising ourselves for jobs. It's changed so much. You know, that I think a lot of people who've been out since 08 or 10 are going to have to sort of learn a new language when it just comes to making themselves available, right? I mean, do you have any tips that way?
No approach. It's all online. And you know, I answered a reader's question on my blog about, you know, how do I prepare best for my resume, for my interview? I said, boy, that's a little out of my territory. So I just Googled it. And there are dozens of sites, services that you can pay for, but not necessarily things you have to pay for, where you learn how to recompose your resume to make up for the fact that you were, quote, a consultant for the last 4 years and didn't do very much consulting. Now is the time that experience counts. If I were writing a job application, I would say experience counts. I have what it takes. Less money spent on training, more experience, and more work ethic are what you get with me.
Okay.
That's the kind of approach that I would take.
So we always talk about the fact that when the job market tightens, that the salaries will go up. Is this the year where we start to see salaries significantly increase?
Certainly, supply and demand is happening now. Everybody laughs and says, well, businesses didn't need a tax cut. But the fact of the matter is, no matter what they do with that tax cut, a good portion of it is going into economic growth, into developing, you know, opening new plants or deciding something could be more productive. Because as people get tax cuts and spend more, businesses decide to accommodate by providing more products. Now, I'm not being Pollyanna here, but I'm talking about at the margins. What you saw was, as we talked before, about people lining up to pay their real estate tax bills. People are smart. They respond to incentives. Management, business is smart. It responds to incentives. They got a bigger incentive in business than individuals did. And their best incentives are carrots, not sticks, like the one all of us who pay property taxes in Illinois got. But the fact is, things are changing now. And if you're depressed by the old game, don't wallow in it. This is the time to look around and say, well, this could be a really different year. It will be.
That's Terry Savage. Terry, have a great week. We'll talk again next Wednesday. Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Welcome to this Wednesday afternoon. Frank Sedditz on a phone line, comes from Cranes, talks to us about what's up in Cranes during the week, and joins us most Wednesday afternoons. And, you know, one of the stories you sent me yesterday, Frank, Happy New Year, Frank.
Happy New Year.
One of the stories you sent me today, I should say, was one that I spent time with yesterday, this Greg Hines look at jobs and where they are in this region, I guess, in the city in particular, but because it's kind of hard to decipher, and I tried to do a couple stories of myself, you know, crediting Greg, of course, but just on it. But what the numbers show, and I guess this comes from the Illinois Department of Employment Security and elsewhere, is that the city of Chicago, when it comes to the downtown area, is really, really booming and leading the state when it comes to job creation.
Yeah, it's been quite a story. I mean, we've got service industry, service sector employers are really flocking to the downtown area. And we've seen an increase in the last 7 years of 23.9% in these full-time jobs covered by unemployment insurance, is the stat they're using, in downtown Chicago in the Loop. So that is outpacing everything but Will County, which also has had a big boom up 30.3%. But, you know, total metro is up 13.5%. So you can kind of see how the Loop is really exceeding the surrounding area.
Right. So the Loop, I think you said, was 16.6%, right, in the last 7 years ending in March.
23.9.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
And then when you take the city out of the region, obviously Chicago does even better. I mean, if you look at the regional number, it is in many ways lifted up by the city number. So you take Chicago out of that, and it shows how the colors, while they're growing by and large, are not even close to what Chicago is doing. Now, is this all? I mean, what's behind this? You know, the mayor makes a big deal out of sort of poaching the suburbs and bringing jobs in from there. But this is bigger than that.
Yeah, Greg Hines did a follow-up story to kind of get under those numbers and what's driving it. And one of the things that he found is, you know, just the percentage of residents in that central city area, you know, the workforce that's readily available with college degrees that are age 25 and higher is going up. And so it's a very well-educated workforce. That central city has, you know, a lot of great office space. So there's a lot of building going on. It's actually fairly attractive square footage rates, more so than you might think, because the building of the offices has outpaced the growth of the employment. So it's not a bad time for renters and or leasers. So there are a lot of things driving, you know, the attractiveness of downtown Chicago.
We talk about the, you know, employers want to find qualified workforces, you know, and sometimes I'm not always altogether clear what that means, or if that's just a catchphrase or whatever. But in Greg's reporting, he talked about the fact, you know, the share of Chicagoans 25 and over with a bachelor's degree continues to go up. But what made me sort of take note is that he says it is already the highest of the five largest cities. So 25 and up with a bachelor's degree, no other city in the U.S., the five top five cities anyway, does as well as Chicago does.
Yeah, and so when Amazon's making its final determination, that could be a scale tipper potentially, so that's good news. But in general, it's very good news. And it's especially concentrated not only in the central area, but almost all of the north side, a lot of the northwest side and southwest side areas such as Pilsen and Little Village, and even on the south side lakefront. So there are, you know, swaths, huge swaths on the west and south sides of the city that are lagging, but the percentage growth is really high in a lot more than just the central city. So there's a great workforce to draw on that can come down downtown pretty easily.
I want to get to that, but just one other note that Hines has in his story to reinforce all of it. Last year, for the first time ever, a majority of jobs in Chicago as a whole were located in the central area of the city.
Yeah, that's pretty shocking.
It is pretty shocking, but I suppose that speaks to the, you know, resurgence or the jobs coming downtown, but B, to the giant sucking sound of manufacturing jobs and things like that further out from the city center going away.
Absolutely, and you can also see that growing tension. You mentioned Rahm at the top of the segment talking about bringing headquarters down. There is some zero-sum game aspect of this where companies that were situated in the, you know, the collar counties are coming downtown, and that's not necessarily a gain for the region, right?
Right, exactly. All right, so when it comes to downtown, we talk about office space. You know, this building, the Tribune Tower, will be changing, and the office space being taken off the market, right? The Tribune newspaper moving across the river next spring. This radio station moving as well across the river and east of Michigan Avenue in a few months. It seems like there's a glut of office space. At least maybe there's a glut coming. I don't know. You guys write that the landlords had a pretty good end of the year last year.
Yeah, so Danny Ecker writes that in the fourth quarter, vacancy rates in the downtown office market went down. So that's good for the owners of the buildings that are leasing them out to, 13.2%. And that's from 13.6% at the end of the third quarter. So just a small small decrease. But because so many buildings have come online recently and are coming online this year and in the near future, the thought is that it's still going to be a renter's market in a lot of ways, and the vacancy rate is probably going to continue to creep up.
All right, we'll watch that. Let's do a little review of 2017 when it comes to Chicago stocks. You know, we talked a lot during the year about the fact that Boeing was the biggest driver in the Dow. You look at Boeing and Caterpillar, I think, did they come in 1-2?
Yeah, Boeing and Caterpillar, Boeing was up almost 90%, 89.4% over the course of last year, and Caterpillar stock price was up almost 70%, 69.9%. So they had, you know, very strong years. There were just a couple of companies that outperformed them, and not many of big size.
And you put McDonald's there at 41% increase. They in the Dow anyway, they are three of the top 10 performers in the Dow, so not too shabby there.
Absolutely.
Those were some of the winners. Sears, not so much.
Yeah, so this is the ongoing story as we all watch, kind of with one hand covering our eyes, looking, peering out between our fingers. You know, this beloved Chicago-based company had a stock hit of 61.5%, a loss in the share price over the last year. And they're really, you know, they're divesting themselves of any kinds of assets that can, you know, throw some more coal on the fire in terms of, you know, getting operating capital. They're trying some things with these small kind of footprint stores,
right.
And they're trying, you know, really to push the digital, but it does seem like there's not a great turnaround story that people are hearing about Sears right now.
And there was a story earlier this week, must have been yesterday, that for the first time in memory, they didn't even run really any holiday advertising.
Yeah, I mean, and if you go into the stores, I've been to the one recently, and I still buy things at Sears Appliances, et cetera, but the one at Six Corners at Irving and Milwaukee up there on the northwest side, there's a lot more space than there is inventory.
Yeah, and it's sad to see, and wish them the best, but it just seems like the inevitable is coming. Let's talk about happier news. Grubhub is one of those companies that grew from nothing in Chicago and was among the big winners, right? Up 90% last year?
Yeah, huge year for Grubhub. And, I think I contributed at least $30 to their bottom line.
I still have not done it, not one time. Isn't that weird?
That is. I mean, I live now in a place where there's a lot of restaurants nearby, so it's very easy. I was further out on the northwest side, and so didn't use it very often. So I think a lot of it depends on, you know, if you're in a very dense area with a lot of restaurants, you're more likely to use it. And, you know, so for a few years when I was out in the Portage Park area, not much around for delivery, so didn't use it. Now closer in, and I'm using it a lot. So I think it's very situational.
A couple of companies at the top of this list of the top 10, and I'm not sure they're easily explainable, but Westell Technologies increased its stock value by 476%, Century Aluminum by 129%. Now, as I understand it, the Century Aluminum thing had to do with sanctions or regulations when it comes to import from China or something like that?
Yeah, it was losing money before turning a profit in the second quarter. WTO, the World Trade Organization, filed a complaint accusing China of dumping aluminum in foreign markets, and at that point, the shares jumped because the thought was that there would be some protection against this dumping if that came through. So their stock price went up significantly. And then Westell did a reverse stock split. So they did a 1-for-4 reverse stock split, which really increased the price because they took a bunch of shares out of the market.
All right, Frank Sennett, Crane Chicago Business. Read more about this at chicagobusiness.com. Thanks very much, Orion Samuelson. Steve Bertrand here. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, 1251 on this Wednesday afternoon. On the phone line is Jill Gonzalez. Jill talks to us from time to time from Wallet Hub. Jill, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Thanks for having me back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And, it looks like, looking at some of your predictions from Wallet Hub, that it is going to be a fairly happy New Year. I know you put this digest together, and I'm sure that the numbers are going to hold, but I just want to point out, too, that when this was written, it was written with the idea that the tax bill was going to come, and indeed it has come. But I want to start with, you know, car sales were out today. They were down a little bit from last year. But it's interesting to me, I was telling Terry Savage earlier a little bit in the program that, you know, given the natural disasters that we faced and given the age of the cars that we drive, that the car boom is expected to continue in 2018, right? What do you guys see at Wallet Hub?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at least for those automobiles, that was actually slowing in mid-2017. And unfortunately, you know, the whole country was hit with these natural disasters. So now we have a lot of pent-up demand moving into 2018. We expect another record year for car sales and home sales as well, even though the feds are beginning to raise rates. We don't see that immediately when it comes to mortgages with the fixed rates and the 30-year term, but I think people are really getting a little bit anxious, and because of that, in the first 6 months of 2018, we'll see some pretty high home sales as well.
So, you know, I wonder when it comes to the car sales, if we are, and speaking again that the average car is 11.6 years old, if we're maybe not in the last or second to last, you know, this sounds crazy, but big wave of individual car purchases. I just wonder, you know, if we're going to get to a point of car sharing in such a way that one day in a decade or two from now, we aren't going to be buying our own cars.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that goes two ways here. Now, for a lot of people, their car is also their job. So they do need a car to be able to get other people around now with the ride sharing. But as you said, I mean, that cuts down on other people's need for a car. So you're right. I think we might see this start to slow down soon, but the last 4 years or so show no signs of it.
You talked about the Fed expecting that they will raise rates. What are you guys saying, three times next year?
The Fed itself has said two to three times, with three looking more likely. So we're going with what they said.
Yeah, everything's feeling pretty good right now, which leads people to take out their plastic, right? If you're not old enough to remember what happened with credit card debt 10 years ago, it seems as if a lot of people aren't, or they're choosing to forget it, because you guys are predicting that credit card debt will set a record. I think that was broken back in 2008.
Well, we haven't seen it this high ever, actually, the trillion-dollar mark. Mm. It's very close in 2008 at about $980 billion. But we're looking to, we haven't gotten any official numbers for Q4, but if we didn't hit it then, we will most definitely hit it in 2018. We're seeing people's, or at least household, average credit card debt now surpassing what it was right before 2008.
And that's
not good.
No, I was going to say, it scares me a little bit. If employment is so good, you know, if the stock market is doing well, it seems as if, to borrow Alan Greenspan's term, there's a little irrational exuberance at the target.
Absolutely. I mean, yes, obviously, consumer confidence is high. That is a great thing. But to see that we have not learned from those pre-recession habits, that we are still spending beyond our means, and keep in mind, this is just credit card debt. This is not mortgage, auto loans, student loan debt that is only piling up as well. So that's a pretty overwhelming picture.
All right, so I got to figure that credit card debt doesn't look so good on the consumer credit scores, but you guys are also predicting that we will see a peak when it comes to credit scores next year, or this year, I should say.
Yes, and the peak isn't necessarily the best thing here either. I mean, obviously, they're going up, and then they're coming down. And the reason we say that is, you know, there were some changes to credit reporting laws this year, and a lot of people saw their report go up about 10 points just because certain things dropped off. So that is good. That means that there was a little bit of a bump. And we expect people to at least hold on to that. But now we are seeing the delinquency rates rise, especially on credit cards.
Jill, I completely read that wrong. When I saw peak, I was only seeing going up. But you're talking about we've reached our zenith, and then now they're going to start to drop.
Exactly. I mean, part of that is good news. The other part is, you know, what happens and how long would that drop last? So, yeah, that's a bit of a 50-50 there.
Jill Gonzalez is with WalletHub.com. Okay, so one more. The bull market continues. It may never end, Jill, not in our lifetimes anyway. You guys are predicting or projecting, what was it about, what was the growth in the S&P 500 you're predicting?
We're expecting that to top 2,900 at least at some point in the year. I mean, so we'll continue that 20 to 25% increase year to date.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's hope that comes true. We'll talk again about a year from now, right? How are you guys generally on your predictions?
We like to hold ourselves accountable here. So out of a 4.0 grade average, we have about a 3.6. So we're doing pretty well. We were 2016 pretty much good for goal. 2017, actually, the stock market did better than we even thought. So hopefully we'll take all of that into next year.
Not too shabby. Jill Gonzalez, we'll talk again soon.
Anytime.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.